Coach Jackie Sherrill, welcome back to Tuscaloosa here inside the game. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Thank you. And yes, I am. I just was at an event the other day that Lavelle Edwards and Barry Switzer, and they had us on a panel, and there were 594 wins between the three of us.
Wow. That's a lot of experience, Coach, sitting on a panel.
Yeah. Of course, with Barry having the mic, it's hard to talk.
Well, certainly a lot of experience. And, Coach, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get you on, because we wanted to sort of give us your perspective on a debate that's in college football right now. It seems like college football season never stops, and I want to get your comments on other things. But being someone that coached in the SEC, you played in the SEC, you understand college football to the maximum level, there's a debate right now that's the no-huddle, hurry-up style offense and trying to put it to the side or at least slow it down a little bit. Where do you stand with the current rule that's on the table and it's been proposed?
Well, after reading the rule and after listening to people around the country and even the people that pushed it through on the rules committee for a vote, if there's no definitive answer of creating or causing more injuries, then I don't know if it's going to get passed. And it's very difficult, you know, when you say you have more injuries, you know, what position are they? What time of the game were they? And, you know, today your average snaps is around 80. And, you know, you go back a few years, your average snap was around 60 to 65. So you'd have to do some statistics of, you know, what was the injuries back then compared to the injuries now. Who are they? What position? And what time of the game are they? And actually, so if you take 20 more snaps, is that creating that many more injuries because of the type of offense that creates more snaps?
Coach, being someone that understands college football, I do think that there is a debate around the injuries. And like you said, we'll have to run those statistics and sort of help us understand that as more people gather more data. And it's sort of in this preliminary phase that we haven't arrived yet at that. But the biggest question I think right now is, how do you slow this hurry-up style down? And maybe I could sort of depend on your expertise to sort of help us. How do you slow down the hurry-up style? And I'm talking about from the defensive perspective.
Well, defensively, you're going to, today, you have to have more defensive linemen than you used to have. Because now, defensive linemen, if you're asking them to play 80 snaps, you're asking them to do something that a guy that's chasing the quarterback every snap or chasing football every snap compared to an offensive lineman, instead of running 80 snaps, he's running like 150 snaps. So you have to have more defensive linemen. You have to rotate your defensive linemen, you know, every series. And, you know, very few teams in the country, but, you know, going back when I've looked and you judge the teams around the country of who had the best or who has a chance to win or who has the teams that have more depth up front and that play two defensive lines. You know, when we had led the nation defensively one year, we played two defensive full TV. Every series, we would play another defensive line, and we'd alternate the fronts. But it's creating defensive backs can play 80 snaps. Certain linebackers can. If you're asking a 300 pounder to play 80 snaps, it's not going to happen as a defensive lineman. So you know, the change in philosophy of size, instead of the 300 to 300 plus linemen, you're going to see more people play with the 280, 285, 270, 270, kind of like the young man out of South Carolina, Tommy. He's 66.
I think we may have lost Coach Jackie Sherrill. We'll see if we can reconnect with him. I think we were drifting away there for a couple of seconds, and I think what Coach Jackie Sherrill was really trying to explain, and we'll try to hook back up with him in just a couple of seconds. But Coach Jackie Sherrill, certainly a legendary career throughout his coaching days, certainly as a player here at the University of Alabama, and we'll look forward. I think we've got Coach Jackie Sherrill back. And, Coach, the last word we heard, you said the guy at South Carolina is at 260, and I think that was it. I'll let you pick up from there.
Yeah. Well, you take Javon Javion Clowney at 266. He can play, because of his athletic ability, he can play more snaps than a young man that was 300. So what you're going to see is more what we call nickel, or more dime package, and you're going to put smaller people, more athletic people on the field that can stay on the field longer.
Coach, knowing the scholarship limitations, because I go back and I think you were part when you early in your career, I don't even know what the number was when you were a GA here at Alabama in 66 and 67, and then where we've traveled at today. At 85, is that enough kids on a scholarship at a major D1 program like what's here in the SEC?
No, I think that you need to move that up. You know, back years ago, you had a two-year signing period. You could have 90 within 2 years. You could sign 40-50 or 50-40 or 45-45. Which gave you a lot more flexibility than just signing, and they may have been a lot more smarter back then we are today, but you know, it gave you flexibility where you could, you know, take more players in 1 year than 40, and then know that you'd have a limit the next year. Or if you didn't sign that many players and you passed on them, then you could take more for the next year, which really a two-year period would be better than a one-year period. But what they really should do is sign, you know, 25 a year and have no upper limit, so the schools or the universities that keep kids for the full 4 years would have the advantage. But take it a step further and say all freshmen should not be eligible, have a freshman schedule, and give them 4 years to play, so they have 5 years in college, and with no upper limit, sign 25 a year, then it would certainly help a lot of teams that were able to keep players in school.
Right now we're talking. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Coach.
Yeah, and what you have now is you'll have a Duke, for example, that will come up and have a chance to have a good football team. But they can't do it year after year because they can't be that, you know, stable in the type of kids that they recruit. And they have to develop players. Vanderbilt's another example. You can go on quite a few schools around the country that would be more competitive if they had a chance to develop players, just like Mississippi State. You have to do a better job of evaluating, recruiting, and developing players than you do at other places.
Coach Jackie Sherrill, right now inside the game, I want to pass around a couple of sort of nuggets in college football and sort of like to get your perspective. It's not all about the no-hurry, hurry-up style offense, but let me ask you another question. As we approach this new college football playoff, do you think it's going to be something that's going to be good for college football if we get the four correct teams in this playoff?
Oh, it's much better today. You know, college football today is much healthier, and it's going to get more next year and the year after. But I mean, it's just like basketball. You know, there's a lot of schools that have their tournaments this weekend, are getting ready for the tournaments, and it's hard for anybody out there to tell me the top 10 teams in college basketball. So, you know, college football has become very, very healthy. And with the playoff next year with four teams, and basically you have 12, because the committee is going to pick 12 teams, and they'll pick those 12 teams as BCS games, and they will go to the BCS bowl games, and then the four will play, and two out of those four will go on to the national championship. So to a lot of people, you only have four teams, but basically it's what it is today. Instead of having two that you're going to play, you'll have four, let four teams play, and then the winners of those four, two games will go play for the championship.
Coach, there's more money being made in college football than ever before. You talked about the popularity and the growth of college football and the health of it. Is it time that we revisit giving players an opportunity to add a little bit more cash to their pocket? Do we reconsider paying players in college football?
Well, you got to understand that the full scholarship student, meaning the full academic scholarship, the National Merit Scholar, they receive more than tuition fees and books. And all students should have those students. And the players or athletes, they all should have the same opportunity. Now, what you're going to have, you'll have some schools like Southern Cal or Rice or some schools that if you base it on your full academic student, then they're going to have to come up with some kind of medium, because those schools will, in Vanderbilt, would receive more money because they give more money to the national merit or the scholar student. And right now, the number one public institution that has the most national merit scholars is which school?
I would say Stanford or Notre Dame, but I mean, that's just a guess.
It's Oklahoma. And so Oklahoma goes out, recruits, and they bid for those, because how many national merit scholars do you have enrolled is the number one criteria of rating your institution in the prestige list of universities. You have distinguished professors, you have alumni giving, and you certainly have the quality of the programs, but the first one and the major one is how many national merit scholars do you have attending your university?
Coach Jackie Sherrill right now inside the game. And Coach, I've got three more questions and I'm out of time. Do you have a couple of minutes to stay through the break? And if you don't, that's okay. We can reconnect at a later date. But I wanted to go back a little bit in a historical perspective and talk about your playing days under Coach Bryant. But I look up at this radio clock, and sometimes it can be a little bit of a pest. And I do.
Hey, I understand. I did radio. just think if the college presidents or the recruiting of every university had the same rules to follow the NCAA, there would be a ton of universities on probation every year.
Coach, I want to walk back to your playing days. You won two national titles here under the legendary Coach Bryant. Was the second one more difficult than the first one?
Yes. But, 1961, Alabama won in 1962. They had a chance, got beat by Georgia Tech. And then 1963, we had an off year, certainly for Coach Bryant in Alabama, but 1964 and 65, we had an opportunity. But, you know, there was some great players, and Coach Bryant also had the ability to take some average players and have them play better than average. But, you know, there was very good players along those years that went off and had great careers in pro ball and had great careers in coaching or whatever.
Certainly, you played with some legendary players, Coach Jackie Sherrill. You were also a graduate assistant here in 1966, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard many folks that covered that generation claim that Coach Bryant said 66 was one of his best teams. It did not win a national title. Your thoughts about that 66 team?
No, it was excellent. You know, they had an awful lot of players. You know, you're talking about, you know, Kenny Stabler and Dennis Holman. But, you know, an awful lot of talent. But, you know, everybody talks about the first African-American player at Alabama, and it really was in the spring of 1966. We had a young man come out for spring practice. And, but, you know, everybody's recollection, or everybody is certainly the people, but I don't know if they've gone, if they ever went back as far as 1966, but it was in the spring of 1966 that we had our first African American.
You remember his name?
No, I don't. You're asking me a
Coach, I'm sorry I'm putting you on the spot, but that's a that's a unique a thing that I've never heard. I did not know that.
In the spring of 1966.
Coach Jackie Sherrill was a GA at the University of Alabama. He had just ended his playing days. Who talked you into getting into coaching, Coach?
Well, I was started my master's at Alabama, then went to Arkansas to finish it. And Coach Majors got the job at Iowa State, and I just, you know, went with him. But I was really not going into coaching. I was going into the business world.
What role did Coach Bryant play in the sort of helping you? And I'm sure that throughout your days of coaching, you probably picked up a little bit of Coach Bryant and was able to share that with your players and sort of maybe a little bit of his style. Or did you see Coach Bryant in some of your coaching style?
Well, I think anybody that was ever around Coach Bryant, whether you played, coached, or you were just around him, then you had some Coach Bryant in you. You know, he was a truly a man's man, a very physical in stature, but yet had tremendous compassion. And he was able to take players and take people around them and make them better people, and also give them a chance to accomplish things that they couldn't accomplish. Now, when you go back, the 1961 team was really a good football team. But if you go back in the history of Coach Bryant, you know, he had a lot of people, but a lot less talent than the players were on the other team. And he did it out of quite a few, you know, his own way, meaning that the players were very disciplined, they were very outstanding in shape, and they just believed they could win. And he gave that to them. I don't know of anybody that's ever been around Coach Bryant that did not believe they could not win.
Coach, as we look at Coach Nick Saban and what he's been able to accomplish here in Tuscaloosa, you know Coach Bryant, what he was able to accomplish here for 25 years. When people look at Coach Saban, and I don't think they do it in a disrespectful way, but sometimes they make statements that Coach Saban reminds them of Coach Bryant. Do you see that in those two coaches?
Well, you have to, well, they're winners. That's the first thing. But you have to understand that what was the same thing in Major League Baseball here, what you thought the quarterback, you know, and saying that, that Peyton Manning is the best quarterback. Well, not necessarily true. In this era, it could be. But if you go back to Johnny Unitas, you go back, I mean, Otto Graham, you can go back a lot of eras. But the same thing with Coach Bryant. In his era, Coach Bryant was the best. And in Nick's era, right now, you can say Nick is the best. But when you say is the best, you'd have to understand that Coach Bryant built Alabama. Coach Bryant did not have the tools that Coach Saban has at this time. You know, there's no question that, that Nick Saban is an outstanding coach in what he's done. And if you, around the country, it's who's the best in college football today? You'd have to say Coach Saban. But if you take the all-time, I don't think you'll get any question that Coach Bryant would still be the all-time football coach.
Coach Jackie Sherrill, we appreciate the insight into the game of college football that we certainly love here in Tuscaloosa. You're part of the Crimson Tide family, not only as a player here, but also coaching here as a GA. You won two national titles. Coach Jackie Sherrill, anytime we can tap into your knowledge bank, we certainly appreciate you spending some time with us here in Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide to you.
Thank you. Roll Tide.